our 92.9 The Game Braves insider, Hosta from the Diamond, as always, brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer from Mark Spain Real Estate at 855-299-SOLD. Grant, how are you?
G-Mac.
I'm good. Situational adjustments. That's what we're calling moving the phone call.
Exactly right. Look, stuff happens. Guys get injured. You gotta move them in the lineup a little bit, and that's sort of what it is. Certainly, the Braves are familiar with that. Is going 0 runs, 12 runs, 1 run just like the perfect microcosm of where things are at right now to you?
It essentially is, because this Braves club has just never found the consistent stretch of baseball that I think everyone expected at some point, even with some of the major injury losses, none bigger than Ronald Acuña Jr., offensively speaking, the setbacks with Ozzie Albies and then Austin Riley. I mean, you're looking at an underpowered lineup, but still a lineup that has some professional hitters in it, but it just hasn't looked the way it's needed to. It hasn't performed the way that it's needed to and been expected to, and unless or until that changes, it is difficult to see the Braves, you know, finding a way to consistently win when they've had some of the best pitching in baseball, bar none, for the majority of the season, and especially this past month, and have essentially been treading water in a lot of ways.
Great. Some of the guys we talk about, like that can come back, Ozzie and Austin Riley and those guys like that. When you get to a point of, like, say for instance, they bomb out against the Dodgers, would you think they would consider just keeping them guys out for the rest of the year?
No, I mean, Austin Riley is very, I mean, I would say, I'll say it, and if I'm wrong, I'll eat my words, but he's not coming back in the regular season.
Okay.
His timeline is, you know, early October, and that's if everything goes well. For Ozzie, when we talked to him, I guess it's going on about a week or 10 days now, he indicated it'd be 2 more weeks until he was able to do all his baseball activities, which then would indicate he could go out on a rehab assignment. Mm-hmm. He's going to come back.
Right.
I mean, barring any kind of setback, which, knock on wood, doesn't happen, but it's 2024 in the Atlanta Braves, so, you know,
probably going to happen.
Katie bar the door. So putting all that aside, I think they just kind of have to work with what they've got.
Right.
And if they can get Ozzie Albies back in the mix, that is great. But if not, you know, they kind of – and Brian Snitker's really been pretty pragmatic about this. We have who we have, and we got to concentrate on winning a baseball game today, and then we'll start worrying about tomorrow's game. But they are truly, as one would say, they are going through it, and they've been going through it for a while. And it's not the door is going to swing open and all the reinforcements are going to walk in. This is not end game when Steve Rogers is just hopelessly beaten and hears the Falcon say, on your left. That's just not happening.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's the reality of it. And honestly, unfortunately, too, you know, if you're paying close attention to it, like you said, some of the stretch of play offensively isn't all that surprising, just as inconsistent as they've been and how many guys they're without. I do wonder, though, and I know why they haven't of late, because the pitching staff has just been so good. The starters that have been going out there have been fantastic. But we had been talking about earlier in the summer some of these young guys maybe coming up and helping out the rotation, Ian Anderson and guys like that. Is there any chance of seeing those guys down the stretch now that Lopez is hurt?
Yeah, certainly now. But I think they put that on hold, that plan, because they were getting some inconsistent results, and they pretty much had gotten to the point where they realized, we've got 5 really capable starters. We got to ride with that group and just see what happens.
Yep.
I mean, because there's just such low margin for error for this club from a pitching side, and they are delivering so many more times than not. Yeah, every week or so, there may be that bad game where they give up, you know, 6 or 7 runs or whatever it is, that one bad one in the mix. But even on some of those days, there's a couple of defensive plays here or there that just doesn't go their way. I mean, Max Fried last night, he didn't pitch poorly, and there was one inning where it just seemed like if anybody could hit the ball just far enough beyond the mound, then the Nationals were going to score a run.
Yes.
And that's the kind of thing that just hasn't happened for the Braves on the flip side of that coin.
Right.
But be that as it may, I mean, they have concentrated so much on, we got to throw our best guys, and we got to stop doing, you know, the extra little things, because we did all that in the first half to get us here to utilize these pitchers at this time. And they're delivering. The bullpen, way more times than not, is delivering. There's just, as I've said, and I feel like a broken record at this point, the margin for error is so thin that if the pitching, you know, does its job and gives up 2, 3, 4 runs, you just can't even count on being in that game necessarily, because the offense can't find the hits it needs.
Grant, this thing with Lopez, it's the second time. Is this has a lot to do with the fact that this is the most he's ever pitched, or is it just bad luck?
No, I think it's probably, well, bad luck. I can't really rule that out, because this feels like a season full of black cats for the Braves. You know, every time something gets going, something else goes wrong. but he hasn't thrown over 100 innings since 2019. That being said, I mean, obviously, this is his best season of his entire professional career, so to say that it's not bad luck would be kind of disingenuous because he's thrown the ball great. It's just trying to maintain and be healthy, and there are going to be some times during the season where even if you're not ending up on the injured list, you're still managing the soreness as a pitcher throughout the course of the season. Like, nobody's going to feel like they're 100% the whole time. It's just how do you get through that, and do you come up upon something like this shoulder tightness where we saw the drop in velocity where it's just not working out for you, and you do have to take that break. And, you know, doing the quick math, if he comes back right on time, there are four games left in the regular season. Then as you start thinking about the postseason, I felt like Ronaldo Lopez had a pretty good case to be in that top three. Can you trust it at that point? Or do you have to have somebody else gassed up and ready to go? Do you think about using him in relief so that he can just go out there and air it out for a couple of innings and be a weapon that way? I mean, there are a lot of different ways you can utilize it. I know that's a lot of extra for this question, but yeah, there's a lot of bad luck there. And I think that the innings that he's thrown, the workload is a big factor in kind of why we're seeing these couple of things crop up over the course of the season.
Grant McCauley joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy, talking some Braves. Day off today, and then the Dodgers for four. 16 games left. I know everyone's kind of looking ahead to that. Well, obviously the Dodgers series, but then the Mets series, three-gamer before the final series of the year against the Royals. Game behind the Mets, a couple games behind the Padres and the Diamondbacks as well. Can you just sort of survey the landscape for the Braves in the final 16, and then the teams that they're chasing as well?
Yeah, and I think that you kind of get to this point where it's four teams for three spots, so clearly you feel pretty good about your chances since it's all grouped into usually about a 2.5 or 3 game separation between the top wild card team and the club that's right on the outside looking in. So a ton of things can happen in the next 2.5 weeks, including the Mets having to go through the Phillies 7 times.
Who do we root
so
for?
They're going to have their hands full as well. Then they got to go head-to-head with the Braves, and they can't afford to slip up there. And quite obviously, I don't know that I need to tell anybody, but I will anyway. The Braves can't afford to slip up against the Mets head-to-head because that could undo any or all of the work that they do leading into that series. And then on the other side, you have to face the Kansas City Royals, who are trying to get into the postseason this year as well. So it is going to be a tough road ahead for the Braves. They really needed to take advantage of this homestand that they just completed. I felt like they needed a sweep of either the Rockies or the Blue Jays. Didn't happen, but you took 2 out of 3. And where it really took a step backwards was losing that game to the Cincinnati Reds. That took a lot of the shine off of that homestand where they really needed to pick up, you know, 5 if not 6 wins, and they ended up with 4. And then to go to Washington and split this series, lose the season series to the Nationals, a club that is, you know, double-digit games under 500,
yeah.
This is just not taking advantage of the stretch of the schedule that they needed to, because the Dodgers, you know, we all know what those series are like, and it ain't going to get any easier this year.
Who the hell do we root for in those 7 of 10 when you're talking about the Phillies and the Mets?
A meteorite, okay. Pretty much. I don't really know that there's a better way. I mean, it's the Phillies. I mean, yeah. That may sound weird or strange, especially considering the history of the last couple of years between these two clubs, but you need the Phillies to knock the Mets around. And can that happen? Sure, it can, because the Phillies are one of the best teams in baseball. I believe they've proven that at this point. And that would be your best-case scenario, is that your foes are losing as many games as they can. And the head-to-head, you know, again, you just got to handle your business there. There's no two ways about it. The Braves still, in a lot of ways, hold their own destiny in their hands if they can do the kind of thing they did in 22 and beat the Mets in 3 games.
Maybe root isn't the right word,
yeah,
right?
It's
just like you want the Phillies to help you.
And that's still hard.
You want the Mets. Yeah.
That's still
it
hard.
Is hard. It's
the
hard.
Enemy
yeah.
of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's really, hey, Grant, exactly. Who's the best team in the National League? I know the Dodgers may be the most talented, I mean, but who do you think is the best team right now in the National League?
The Phillies.
Okay.
I believe the Phillies are. And it's not, I mean, there's not a big separation. I mean, let's not say that, oh, well, this team, and then there's way this huge gap in between. There's not. I mean, the Dodgers have a superstar in Shohei Ohtani that's doing historic and crazy things, and he's not even on the mound this year.
Right.
They've got a talented lineup with plenty of good players. They just got Yamamoto back. That's big for them down the stretch because their pitching has been an abject disaster all year long with injuries as well. So, I mean, they've got the reinforcements, I guess, that they needed at this time to kind of put some things together. And the Dodgers are a club that, in a lot of ways, they're in the same boat that the Braves are in. There's been a lot of winning that's gone on. the last couple of years, and they have done a lot of losing very quickly in October and gone home. So they've got a lot to prove this season, and we'll see if they're able to do it too.
Yeah, see, Yamamoto projected Monday against Fried. And look, I mean, hopefully Schwellenbach, Sale, Morton, Fried, these guys that have been incredible for the last month or so can continue to do that. Yeah, because that's what it's going to take. Grant, we appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate
you,
G-Mac.
Thanks, guys.